session of this week is called Toldot. Now, the word Toldot, what we're going to read, is it says, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak. This is the, you know, generation of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham gave birth to Isaac. It seems unnecessary. If Isaac is the son of Abraham, why you tell me Abraham is the father of Isaac? Of course, it's, we know that in the, thank you so much, just thinking about the tea. So, it's something that we need to explain. And the reason it we need to explain that is because everything in the five books of Moses, everything in the Torah, has a meaning. So when we using the Zohar, we're not just using the Zohar in an intellectual way, like to understand and become smarter. It's a connection. Like you are here now, all of you are here. What are we doing here together? When we are here together, the frequency of our body change. We have to change. It's not going to stay the same. Being in a company of the right study taking place, the cells in the body has to change. So it's not going to be just study some messages. So when we come with some question about the Torah and we found the solution, it's very much similar to you going through a problem in your life and you don't have the solution. That's what you want to think about while we study. So it's called Kushia and Terutz, or question and answer, meaning that you have in the fruit, to get to the fruit, you have to remove the shell. Shell is klipa. That's what we're doing actually here. So when you study, it's a different things to study when we are in the room together, and of course, study online. You're only allowed to study online when you are far away. When you're far away, it's okay. Why I say the word allowed, that's kind of guilty a little bit. In the a book that's called Shulchan Aruch, it's the book of law. It's talking about Sachar Psi'a. In Hebrew, Sachar Psi'a, Sachar mean the reward of walking. The reward of walking. So it says the reward of walking is what you're getting actually more than the study itself. So your effort to go to a place of study is actually giving you more than the study itself. It's crazy. So by you making the effort today to arrive here and to be here with all of us together, you actually start getting the reward automatically. Now, if you study even more, you're getting the reward even more from that. Now, what about you at home and watching me and say, hey, I'm from Minnesota, I'm from Australia, what's going on with us? Well, you can walk, you know, you can walk here. So you consider by turning on the TV or the computer, that's your Sachar Psi'a, that's your reward of walking. It's always to remember that everything we do spiritually, like I give lecture on Friday morning, 5 a.m., to come at 5 a.m., it's difficult to wake up. Who want to wake up 4:30 to be here at 5? It's too much. But by you coming here, it's Sachar Psi'a, Sachar Ashkama, reward of awakening. Not this Friday. This Friday, I'm doing it from New York. So I'm shooting it from New York City. For them, it's 8 a.m. Here, it will be 5 a.m. It can still be turning on the computer at 5 a.m. It's also something. Anyway. So let's go back to Toldot. So, of course, I'm teaching it for 30 years, the same section, and every time you're going to come up with a new thing. And today I was going to look at a place that's called Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet is one of the commentary that bring mostly a secret from the Zohar. Sfat Emet, those of you who want to know where it's buried, if you ever landed in Poland, in Warsaw, it's about 25 minutes from the airport, the international airport of Warsaw. And he was a tzaddik, a righteous, a rabbi, a Kabbalist, a spiritual man that was capable to explain things in a Kabbalistic way with the Zohar that everybody can understand. And that's what he said. And I want to share it with you. It say, this is the Toladot of Yitzchak. This is the generation, the birth of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham is giving birth to Isaac. It's written that Isaac looked exactly like Abraham. His panim, klastar panav, his face looked exactly like his father Abraham. There's many commentary on that, but I want to go into one thing. Panav, the word panim in Hebrew, is the same word in Hebrew for plimiut. Plimiut means internal. So the internal essence of Abraham was also in Isaac. We know, those of you who study Kabbalah, Abraham represents something in the Kabbalah called chesed, mercy. Isaac represents gvura, opposite. One representing left column, receiving. One representing right column, giving. How can you tell me that they are actually the same? And the Zohar and Sfat Emet is going to explain it, say, basically, gvura, which means strength, which means judgment, is the same like mercy. How can you say that? How can you tell me that gvura, which is judgment, come from mercy? That's what he's trying to say. Ele toldot Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram olidit Yitzchak. What give birth to gvura? What give birth to judgment? Mercy. How can you say that? This doesn't make any sense. So they explain, if you work on yourself spiritually, you will be able to get into a point that you don't longer see different between judgment and mercy. Now, you want to tell me that somebody who's been tough on someone, on somebody who's merciful on someone, is the same thing? Doesn't make any sense. We absolutely disagree with that. But the reason we disagree with that, because we are very much attached to what the five senses are telling us to be attached. You're seeing a father being tough with his son, and you see a mother being kind to her son. Who cares about the son more? Both care. In different style. The father is afraid that the son will do a mistake, that's why he's so tough. And the mother afraid that the son will go in the wrong direction, that's why he's so soft. But they are both merciful toward the son. Their approach cover is different. So sometimes the cover that we see about people, we get it wrong. So the Sfat Emet, or the Torah, is telling us about this big parasha. You need to understand that whatever you see, it's always the same. Once you work on yourself and remove the klipot, remove the shells, remove the thing that you can be removed, then you will be able to see that it's all one. The reason we see separation, the reason we see problem, is because we are yet didn't remove the what we attach so much to physicality. And that's the most difficult work. We all attach to physicality. I saw, I heard, I compare, I judge. All those things, the original, the seed, the DNA of the soul is only mercy. Even if we think we're something judgmental, it's come from mercy. Even then, it's come from mercy. But with the years, with the time, it gets covered. If I take a diamond and I throw it into the mud, it stays a diamond. A diamond will never change. Change. So why is it dirty? Because we need to wash it. So everything is just covered. So I want to start with that before I'm going into the Zohar, because I found it very, very powerful. Now, the portion is very, very beautiful. Isaac, Rebecca, she's pregnant, she's confused. No, first she cannot get pregnant, she's confused. She's crying. Isaac said, don't worry, I pray for you, I pray for her. She's now confused again. And say, why are you confused? He said, because when I'm going next to a place of negative people, the baby is happy. And I want to go next to a place of positive people, the baby is happy. So you say, well, why are you worried? He said, I'm worried that my baby is mixed. He has a mixed feeling about life. He said, everybody has a mixed feeling about life. You know, we one day we're bad, one day we're good. That's the way it is. Then she went to another tzaddik, another righteous, another rabbi to ask his opinion. Said, don't worry, you have twin. She was so happy. She was so happy. Now, what kind of mother would be happy when they tell her you have twin? One is good and one is terrible. Don't you prepare two? And okay, they're almost there. What's the point that the Torah want to teach us? Spiritual journey cannot be done halfway. Cannot be done halfway, unfortunately. If after 3 years they give you rules in the Talmud, the Talmud in the section called Psachim. There is two opinions on that. One rabbi say, if you work less of 3 years, and the style that you work don't give you fruit, and the fruit has to be that you truly change, then you continue the same style. But if after 3 years, some opinions say five, it didn't say change, then you know that the influence of the environment is bigger on you than you are influenced the environment. And that's why you have to shift to something else. That's in the Talmud. Rabbi Chaim Vital, the student of the Ari, bring it as well, the same section. What can we learn from that about ourselves? There is a system, my friend. System tell you 3 years. or five, whatever you want. If you after 3 years try to change something that doesn't work, you have to change your style. Is it very complicated? I don't think so. It's so simple. It's not working. Well, you keep trying. It's not working. How many times we're finding ourselves doing the same thing and expecting different results? It's not working. They tell you 3 years, other opinion 5 years, whatever you do. Stop holding on to the same style. It's not working. Simply not working. It's time to change. Time to go. It's time to choose to move to another city. But you can't hold on and be stubborn after 3 years, especially spiritually. Because what Rebecca was worried, that she would give birth to a boy. That is, after 5 years, they keep trying. After 6 years, they keep trying. Nothing is happening. Mediocre, what we call. She wants either righteous or either wicked. Wicked. Why? Wicked change. Wicked has a chance to change. Wicked has a chance to change. In the 12-step program, they call it to hit bottom. A person has to go all the way to the bottom. And then they can become a rock star. You cannot become a rock star. You cannot become like successful until you don't go to the bottom. Okay? That's one style. Another style to work very hard until you get there. You know? Like a sport, like Michael Jordan. You know, they didn't accept him to a team. You work very hard. You work very hard. And you make it. In basketball. I don't know about his other part of his life. But that's the area. That's the story with Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Esau. And then come the part that everybody wants to forget it even existed in the Bible. Because it's not cool. It's really not cool. Rebecca teach her son how to lie. This is not good. Okay, let's say she teach him to lie his enemy. No. She teach him to lie who? His own father. Doesn't matter how you're going to look at it, we got a problem here. She hear her husband say to the bad son, what she call a bad son, get me some food and come back here. By that time, Isaac was blind. And I will bless you. That you will have the best life and your generation to come best life. The mother of the same, she's the mother of two of them. She take her young boy and say, hey, listen, your father is about to bless your brother. I make you food that your father likes because I know what he likes to eat. You go there, you get the blessing. She cheated her father, her husband. She cheated her own son. And she make her other son cheat his father. He said, Mom, I don't want to do it. She said, you will do it because I'm telling you to do it. He said, but if father will find out, I'll be cursed for the rest of my life. One word come out of Isaac's mouth and he can kill me. I don't want to take a risk. He said, don't worry. If I curse you, the curse is on me. You go to that story. And that's taking you to Rabbi Isaac Luria. Rabbi Isaac Luria said, let me get you out of the box here a little bit. How can you get out of the box? He said, the player that you're watching, father, two son and a mother, played before in a different Broadway show. Where did they play? Isaac played God. In the Garden of Eden. Remember Garden of Eden? Esau was the snake in the Garden of Eden. Rebecca, she was Eve. Jacob, he was Adam. The four players are back. Reincarnation, second chance. Now what is Eve doing? Smart Eve, become Rebecca. Say, honey, Adam, it is showtime for me. Don't take it away from me. I better fix what I did wrong. And you give it to me right now. And that's why Yaakov was able to go in and take what's belonged to him. This is on, I just want to always start with giving you the whole thing in condense, and then we open the Zohar and we go in more spelling it. But it's fascinating. Don't you find that fascinating? Like, we are living life. How many of us finding our life sometimes being injustice? I find in my life many times to be injustice. But if this injustice is a necessity, necessity. And sometimes it's so tough. So tough. You're getting, in my job, you're getting sometimes news that are not make me happy. Not make me happy. About people's situation, about what they go through, pain, sickness. Sad. Just sad. What do you do? Well, in every injustice, there is justice that we can see. That's why it is injustice to me. But if I look at the big picture, it's the best thing that can ever happen. And when we are adapt this formula in our life, it can be very well serving us in the greatest way that's more than you can imagine. Anyway, we have, I'm going to start with verse 39 from the Zohar. And I call that section the birth of happiness. The reason I call it the birth of happiness, because Yitzchak means happiness, to laughter. This is the birth of Isaac, it say, but it's actually this is the birth of Yitzchak. This is the birth of happiness. So there is a code name, say the Zohar, of where is the happiness come from. And we need to study it because I think we all want and need to be happy. Any questions so far before I'm going deep into it? All right. So who's reading? When the lady, you reading again?
Sure.
You're the professional reader? Here we go.
Right. In the name of the Rav, Rabbi Yehuda said that in the future, the Holy One, blessed be He, will rejoice with the righteous and will let His Shekhinah dwell among them. Everybody will rejoice in that joy, as it is written, let Hashem rejoice in His works. Rabbi Yehuda said that at the time the righteous will create worlds and raise the dead. Rabbi Yossi said to him, we have learned that there is nothing new under the sun. Rabbi Yehuda responded, come and hearken. While the wicked are in the world and multiply, the whole world does not endure. But when the righteous are in the world, it does endure. And in the future, they will raise the dead, as it is written. Old men and old women shall yet again dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age.
Meaning it will be nobody going to die, so everybody is leaning on their staff. That's what he means. Now, what is happiness according to the Zohar? Happiness according to the Zohar means no death. Interesting concept. Zohar, 2,000 years ago. The Zohar make happiness equal no death. How does life look like with no death or with our ability to resurrect the people who die? How does the life look like all of a sudden? All of a sudden, it looks different. No death anymore. And whoever you want to resurrect, you go with your finger and you resurrect that person, whoever you want. What do you think? Is that the only source of sadness in the world? Some people will tell me no. What about money issue? Relationship? Somebody don't like you? But you know you're going to live forever. So now you're stuck with them forever, right? Why is the Zohar choose happiness as the roots of happiness is not death? Why would the Zohar choose that? It's a very important something with to understand, because the body, the way we know ourselves is through the body. What we know about the body, we need to eat, shower, bathroom, you know. It's a body. We're taking care of the body most of the time. Soul is truly something that lives forever, according to what we study. Now he's telling you that it will be a time that the body and the soul will be living forever. And that's supposed to be the source of all the happiness. So from here we learn that every time you get depressed, it's because your soul somehow know that you're going to die eventually. So the roots of all your sadness come from the body, know that the body is going to die. I mean, you got to think, it's deep. Okay, it's kind of deep. You got to think about it. Story goes like this. So there is a city called the City of Luz. And in the City of Luz, nobody died. And that person come to visit them from another city. So they come to visit the City of Luz. They show him that nobody ever died. So the guy from Luz never knew that there is death. So he go to visit the other person in his hometown. And as he come to visit, he see a cemetery. So what is that? That's a cemetery. So what cemetery? It's a cemetery, you know, where people passed away, they died, they put him in the ground. He said, what do you mean passed away? He said, they die. So what is death? Well, they lived till 86, 92. That's normally the life. And yeah. So, wow. So I'm sure you live your life differently than us. So what do you mean differently? I said, I'm sure you don't build a house from stone. You build it from paper because anyway, you're not going to live it for too long. And then who cares? So no, we build our house stone. So he said to him, oh my God, I'm sure you never worry about anything because you know you're going to die. So why would you worry about anything? So no, we all worry like you about tax, money, and this and that. So well, I'm sure. And then he go to 20 questions and say in the Zohar that the guy start crying. And he started crying. He said, oh my God, Kama tzodek haya ishahu. The guy who, from another city, not from Luz, looked at that guy and said to him, how right was he when he told me those things? And sometimes we don't understand how much death is basically control our life from A to Z. We are not living. We are dying. Every day, a person dying. It's closer. Now, why is it like that? Well, it's something that started from the sin of Adam and Eve. We know it. So at the time of sin of Adam and Eve, that took a place, unfortunately. For me, we learn that what the Zohar says in verse 39, Simcha, happiness, the roots of happiness, is removal of death. Let's continue next verse, the same subject, please. 40.
At that time, the righteous will attain complete knowledge. For as Rabbi Yossi said, when Hashem rejoices in his works, then the righteous are destined to grasp the Holy One, blessed be he, in their hearts. And wisdom will abound in their hearts, as if they are seeing him with their eyes. This is the meaning of the verse. And it shall be said on that day, this is our Elohim. And for their existence together, the soul shall delight in the body more than anything. And that they shall have knowledge and perception of their master, and shall have the enjoyment of the splendor of the Shekhinah. This is the goodness hidden from the righteous in the future to come. Thus, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son, refers to the generations of gladness and laughter that will exist at that time. Abraham's son is a soul worthy of it and is perfect of its ascent. Abraham begot Isaac means that the soul sires joy and laughter in the world.
Thank you. So, he explained a different angle. What is Yitzchak? Yitzchak, again, remember, Yitzchak means laughter, Yitzchak means happiness. So what is the roots of happiness or how to get happiness is when the righteous, it say, when the righteous know in their heart, okay, to get to a point that they know in their heart the idea of that the body and the soul come to the same level of consciousness. Now, what is the body and soul? Body is our selfish agenda. Soul is no agenda, just giving. When our two existence coming into parallel, which means in the same level, that all what we want to do is to live like a soul. What is living like a soul? Giving, loving. Understanding that tomorrow it will be here forever. Understanding that 1,000 years will be here forever. Understanding that everything will be just forever. Understanding that whatever I lost can be resurrected. Understanding whatever was gone can be restored. Only then a true happiness can last. The happiness we're looking for is to capture another day, another moment, another picture on Facebook, another picture by a new iPhone. That's what we're looking for. We are not looking for immortality. We are not looking for endless. We are looking for that moment in time and say, oh, and then we're going to read the book that's called The Power of Now. Because for sure, I don't have the power of after. I'm not trying to make fun of the book. I like the book. But I think the book serves only one thing, power of now, or the power of after. Which is book is positive because it's helping you taking care of the now. Which I think is important for people who live in the past. People are not forgiving, but you still have to plan the future. Do you believe that you will be in a time here that things will shift and change? Do you believe? If you do believe, then smile from now forever. If you don't believe, then what are you going to do different that time will come? Because otherwise, we need to be depressed according to that. There's no point. What are you living for? Your children? Making sure that they suffer like you? What are you doing? You prepare things for your children? So, listen, I want to invite you to a new game. You're going to die in the end, but enjoy while you can. Eat good food, travel to Paris or this and that. And if you do well, you're going to die. And then grandchildren too. Why your grandparents love the grandchildren? Because it's not my responsibility. Now let my children suffer the same way. That's what's going on. Our universe is very much in chaos. And what people are doing, people want to become leader right away. They buy a gun. They put the gun into somebody's head. Now they have many followers. How many followers can you get in 5 minutes when you have a machine gun? Many followers. You don't need Facebook. Everybody will follow you. So you get control over 2 minutes. But that's not the way to go. The real control is when you control your body, temptation, and you turn into a real soul person. To get into a soul person, you have to get into a place where you truly understand the essence of immortality. And I continue, please. I'm sorry we start with a deep subject, but it's important, okay? Go ahead.
Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Chia, "We have learned that the Holy One, blessed be He, will prepare a feast for the righteous in the future. What is the feast?" He replied, "Before you went before these holy angels, the sages of the Mishnah, I heard what Rabbi Elazar said. It said, 'My heart at peace,' for Rabbi Elazar said that the feast of the righteous in the future is as it is written. And they beheld the Elohim, and did eat and drink. Here it is written, 'Eat,' but Rabbi Elazar noted that in one place it explained as 'enjoy,' and another, 'Eat.' What is the difference?" He responded, "Woe to the righteous who do not have as much merit. They enjoy the splendor, though they do not understand everything. However, the righteous who merit the divine splendor eat until they grasp it fully. Food and drink refers to this feast and eating alone. From whom do we know this? From Moses, as it is written, 'He did not either eat bread nor drink water.' Why so? Because he ate another meal, which is a supernal splendor. The meal of the righteous in the future will be in that manner."
Now, it's giving us a secret of happiness and a secret of what is immortality, what is living forever mean. To be able to get to a point when we truly fulfill, that's a happiness. But it's also teaching us, the Zohar is teaching us, that if we are chasing the physical fulfillment, it will be for the moment good, but it will end up with sadness. That's why it's written that after you have a meal, you know, today usually people go on a date, they're going to eat something together. One of my advice always to people who go on a date, don't eat. Because during the food, what you're activating? The body. When you're activating the body, you're activating the sad part of your being. Your soul is the happiness, the body is the depressed one. Always remember that. The body is depressed. That's why it doesn't matter how many times you go to the gym, you're going to get depressed. Whatever you work on your body, you're going to get depressed. But how come Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato in his book said that people who don't do sport will get depressed too? The Ramchal, right, in his book. People who don't walk at all every day, at least walking. But if you are obsessive work on your body, on your six-pack, obsessive way, or obsessive about eating food, or obsessive about your vegan meal, that will cause sadness. When you develop your soul, which is nothing to do with your develop of your physical being, develop your inner being, that is the roots of happiness. So you want to be happy, you got to connect to something way more than physical, way more than the five senses, way more than something that you can measure. It's something internal. And this is why I brought it as an opening, to understand that if some of us looking for happiness, we have to get into a place of truly working on our soul. You know, today I gave this formula to a few people, and today I give this formula again because I saw how much it helped people. And I say expectation, desire, and then share. And everybody who belongs to a religious group, religious community, cult, or whatever it is, you know, usually you have a problem with the word expectation because they teach you not to have expectation. Just share. But I will tell you. When a baby going into a toy store, they have expectation and they have, "I deserve." That's your engine. Don't ever lose it. Don't feel guilty that you have expectation. You have expectation for a kiss. You have expectation for a hug. You have expectation for a good meal. You have expectation for love. You have expectation for a dance. Keep it. Then turn it into something stronger. It's called desire. Now I want it. Like a kid. After you have it, now share. If you share from the beginning, that will make you run out of energy. If you're only going to desire and you will be afraid to expect, that will make you feel guilty all the time. Like in religious group, they do. If you have only expectation, but you never turn it into desire and sharing, that will make you greedy and miserable. So you're never going to be happy in the end. You got to keep those three things in balance and you will be not only successful, happy for the rest of your life. Expectation, and put expectation, I don't know, two, I deserve, then desire, then share. Everything you do. So if you're going on a date and you don't say, I deserve the best date, don't go on a date. Go home. Go back home. Go back home. Take a potato chips. You're wasting your time. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. It's going to be a disaster either that night or either a year from now. Or either 20 years in court, divorce. I deserve the best for me. If you're already in that frequency, when you're sitting there, they will leave. If they're not good. You understand what I'm saying? They will leave. Then, after you sit with them and it starts building up like what you deserve, I desire that. After it starts building up, now come the test. That's a tough one. That's a gratitude test. Can us as a couple make a difference? Can us as a couple can share? If the answer is no, then forget about the whole thing. It's not going to work. Remember, most people right away go to the sharing thing. What a fake. Every time you see somebody with yarmulke or cross or running some religious group and they tell you share, share, they fake. You want to know who fake? The one who talk to you about peace and sharing. The one who tell you to continue being an animal and then change, that's a real work. Real work. Share. Share always sound noble. Oh, of course I share, share. I don't forget my checkbook, but let me share. You know? Sharing come in the end. That's the toughest thing. Toughest. I like to eat, right? You all know I like to eat. You all know I have addiction to food, right? If I'm in the kitchen and you come while I'm hungry, I didn't eat all day long, and I'm making my sandwich, and there is a knock on the door. Oh, my God. First, when I make the sandwich, and I love to make my own food, right? I deserve it. I expect it. I know what I want. Then I desire it. Then I'm building a desire. Then there's a movie I was waiting to watch. Everything said and done. Then, oh, my God. Do I have to cut it by half now? What am I going to do now? And then, usually, okay, let me wash my hand off. Yes? What happened? Oh, Leah, I got to talk to you. Talk to me? Why you need to talk to me now? I have food. Right? Right away, I'm going. But that's the sharing time. That's what I'm saying. Expectation. Doesn't sound pretty spiritually. Desire. Now. Now you share. All the business people I coach in my life that made it into a level that I didn't believe that they can reach that level. And I'm so touched by them. And God bless them and give them double of what they have. If I ask them, how did you start? They say, I felt I deserved that amount of money. And then when I started working with them again, I said, well, after you deserve, then I desire. I said, what about sharing? So, wow, that's the tough part, they say. You have a lot of money, it's very tough to share. When you have a small amount of money, it's so easy. If you have one banana, you don't take off. When you have everything belong to you, now you start being suspicious. Who love you for real, who's not, you know? My dear friend, if you remember this formula, I promise you, 3 months your life is changing. Here's on camera for you at home as well. Expectation, say I deserve. Desire, and then come the you come to me with the test of the sharing, and I will show you how tough it is. When you have the $1 billion, trust me, you can't give. Can't give the 10, what is 10%? 100 million? 100 million. I want to see you writing a check for 100 million after 1 billion. Okay. Your hand will start shaking. So listen, I'm not exactly have 1 billion. Well, after I talked to my CPA, he said that we have 600 million. Okay, give me 60. Well, it's not exactly 600 because I owe money on my card. You know, gratitude. So, what is another tool of happiness? Tell us this all. Having gratitude. So let's see in verse 45. I'm skipping a little bit forward. Let's say what Rabbi Yehoshua said. Please.
Rabbi Yehoshua, yeah.
Yeshua.
Yeshua
Paruah.
Further stated, the belief of the stage is communicated to the most of the people, that they are invited to this meal at the Leviathan.
There is a meal that's called Leviathan. Leviathan means a well, but it's not really mean a well. It's an elevated meal. Go ahead, please.
And the wild bull, where they will drink of the good cellared wine preserved from the time of creation. They came upon this verse, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and interpreted it thus. Rabbi Zira said, the Holy One, blessed be He, used all kinds of enticements to encourage the children of Israel to return to the good path. The greatest of them all was when He said to them, and you shall eat your bread to the full, or among the curses the worst is, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Why so? Because it is written, would he had died by the hand of Hashem in the land of Egypt. Rabbi Zira said, this teaches us that for the sake of eating, sacrifice their lives to die by their hands. When the Holy One, blessed be He, noticed their lust, He said to them, if you will hearken to keep the commandments, you shall eat your bread to the full. In order to appease their minds in this manner, the wise men saw that the exile would continue. They relied on the verses in the Torah, and they said that they would eat and be merry at the great feast that the Holy One, blessed be He, will hold for them. Therefore, most of the people in the world suffer this exile for the sake of that feast.
So, that feast is very interesting. The Zohar talk about something that has to do with gratitude. Some people have everything, but they cannot enjoy. Some people have very little, and they're very appreciative of what they have. How can that be? So what is the gift? To get what you want or to appreciate what you have? Now, most people say, Eliyahu, you just say about this expectation thing. We like that formula. Don't kill it. Don't take it away from us. We like the expectation, desire. We don't like the sharing because we don't know what's going to happen. But we like the first two parts. Expectation, desire. Good. That's going to build me God. Here. It says the true essence of happiness, the way to get to happiness, is by having what we call sova, being satiated from the food. And we need to understand it. Most of the time, we think, you know, you're going to a restaurant, right? Remember when you walk into a restaurant, like a good one, you're walking in, there is a whole scene. The light are, you know, exactly in the place, the candle on the table, tablecloth is clean, waiters running around. I'm describing to you everything you're going to see. Sometimes there is a music play. There is a person who put you, you know, take you to your table. It's very nice. You see people dressed nice, perfume, different smell from everywhere. Nice flower, fresh sitting there, you know, and everything seemed nice. Smell from the kitchen, everybody is rushing for you, serving the king and the queen to eat. And you see cutting, sometimes the kitchen is open. You see, I'm describing very fast what's going on. Oh my God, so much appreciation. Is this moment look exactly like the last moment you leave the restaurant? Can you see that on the way out? Can. The music doesn't sound that great. The table is moving a little bit. The candle is not a real candle. It's electric. The flower is plastic. The waiter is not smiling at me. He's judging my dress. The people in the kitchen are not working hard enough. The air condition is too cold, too warm. What happened? The point is the gift of gratitude is a gift that doesn't come from a human, it comes from God. It's called Leviathan. Leviathan from the word alva'ah. That God is give you that to be borrowed from God. God said to you, I give you something you can borrow from me. The ability to appreciate. If you appreciate things you have in life, it's not yours. That ability was a gift from God. And you have to ask from God, please, I want to have it. I want to have it. Just give me to appreciate all what I have. I don't want more. I just that. Okay, at this table, I'm very happy. This table holding my book now. This is very important, my iPad and this, what the name? Rocco TV, the smartest TV in the world, right? Thank God, thank you TV, right? And all those things that is really around us and the people and everything. Wow, wow. What happened to you at that moment? I found out from people who are honest enough, and that's why I love to meet rough people, because they tell it the way it is. I said, why don't you have gratitude for your husband? Why don't you have gratitude for your wife? Why don't you have gratitude for your business? Why they worry that in the moment they will have gratitude for what they have, they will lose it. You ever heard about disease like that? People has a panic attack. I didn't even know it exists. You heard about it? Well,
you're scared that people will think they have a lot, or it's going too good, something bad's going to happen.
Something bad, that's a word they use. Something weird, bad will happen to them.
Yeah, if you say it's good.
Exactly. Wow. Genius, how the dark system work. See, if you believe that you have good enough life, bad news is coming. Let me tell you, bad news is coming. It is true if you don't have gratitude. Because if you say, my life is good, with no gratitude, you don't have a container to hold it. What holds the blessing that you have in your life is a container. The name of that container has a name. It's called gratitude. Gratitude. You have to wake up in the morning and appreciate 5 things in your life. 5. You don't have to do a lot. We are not angels. If you cannot do 5, do 3. If you cannot do 3, do 1. Never do 2, never do 2, 4. It's either 1, 3, or 5. I'm giving you the formula. Okay? 3 has to be, you gotta find 3 in your life. That's it, you're able to wake up. I think that's 1. That's easy. Come on. That's easy. I mean, that woke up. Boom! 1! I got 1! Now 2 to go! That's easy. You know? I'm able to have a memory to remember that this is my home. Oh, that here we go, 2. That's good. You know, I'm able to see where my bathroom is. That's 3 easily. It's 1,000. Every morning, 1,000. If you keep that gratitude going, then you get what we call the meal of the righteous. What is the meal of the righteous? It's not cereal. It's not bread. It's not meat. It's a meal that you have to be satiated all the time. You look around people. I don't know how many of you met famous and rich and this and that. In my profession, I meet the poorest, I meet the richest, I meet the famous, I meet the noble. It's a job. It's a type of a job. Some people think if I meet the one at the top, they're always more happy. Not necessarily, I have to tell you, not necessarily. I meet people who have nothing and I enjoy, like, wow, it's unbelievable. And sometimes I ask them, you have nothing for tomorrow. I want to know your secret. How do you do it? Say, Aliyah, day by day. I love their answer. Day by day, Aliyah. Day by day. I talked to the other day, 2 weeks ago, I talked to a person who lost all his money. He was super, super wealthy. Super wealthy. Everything's gone. Wrong investment. You know, the real estate, 2008. Gone. 2 times. 2008, 2012, he lost it again. Moved from a mansion with only part in a servant and everything into a two-bedroom apartment. Went through a very tough time. I wouldn't tell you it was easy. 2 years of depression, severe. He's in a good place now. So suddenly he posts a picture on Facebook and this. Started to cause a man. It's good. What's your secret? Say, Leo, before that, I had money. I had a great family. I have great kids. I have a great wife. I have everything. When I lost the money, I thought I lost everything. I didn't know that I have family. I have kids. I didn't know I have nothing here. I was caring about the numbers in the bank. The money, after 2.5 years, woke me up. And I actually start to look around and I actually have a great wife. I have a great kids. Everything is great. One thing gone, but everything stay. I was busy seeing more the one thing that gone than what did I have. And I developed gratitude for what I have. And I realized I have a wife, I have kids, I have friends, I have people to fight with, I have my 2-bedroom apartment for my mansion and 5 servants and 1 chef and everything. Okay. But we come together. I know how to cook. The beauty about gratitude, guys, that you have fulfillment. And it doesn't mean you should not have expectation or desire or sharing the formula before. But you should look at your life and start appreciate what you have, and then you're allowed to want more. If you just appreciate what you have, you're going to be lazy. If you want more, you'll be greedy and miserable. You have to balance the two. One more section. From Rabbi Yochanan, and then we're going to another place. Please.
Rabbi Yochanan said that we should not contradict this belief, but support the idea that the feast consists of eating and drinking, because the Torah bears witnesses to it in the verse, and you shall eat your bread to the full. We already know the faith of the righteous and their desire for the verses. We will be glad and rejoice in you, and not in eating. And we will praise you, love more than wine, which alludes to the wine of the Torah, that feast that they, most of the people in the world, are destined for eating and drinking. We will partake of it too. This is the part of joy and laughter. And these are the generations of Isaac. For the righteous will laugh in the future. Abraham begot Isaac, as it is the virtue of the soul that begets that laughter and joy in the world.
So beautiful. Now you close the circle. This is the generation of the laughter. It's not the generation of Yitzchak. What is the generation of the laughter? Gratitude. Is happiness is one of your goals? Then we tell you what's the secret. There's only one secret for laughter and happiness. Look into your life for the thing you have, not for the thing you don't have, and start laughing. Start be happy. It's going to be one thing in your life, two things, then three, then four. Write them down. Don't be ashamed to be a nerd. Write them down. Write them down. It's only nothing. No, write them down. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, you want to say to your husband or wife or friend, I appreciate you, you can say that. But that's not what counts. What's count, do you have gratitude? And if you don't, you don't. Anyway. All right. The next part is, I call it, whatever belonged to you, belonged to you. We know that there is one section I didn't tell you that happened this week, Parsha. In the beginning of the portion, Esau is starving and hungry. Jacob is giving him a lentil soup, a red lentil soup. And he tell him the word al-aiteni. Al-aiteni, which means feed me. But al-aiteni is like when the camel drink. That's called al-ata. I don't know if you know, but the camel can drink a lot of water. I don't know if you know that. You know that? Yes, it is. What do you call the thing on his back?
Hump.
Hump. On this hump on his back. Sorry, my accent sounds really bad. So this little bulging part on his back, he can hold a lot of water. I think maybe 30 liters or more, you know. And they drink for later. Esau was drinking the soup like for later. He couldn't enjoy it in the moment. And when he wanted the soup, Jacob said to him, I tell you something, you want the soup? He said, yeah. He said, give me your birthright, and I give you the soup. So that's really going on. So we can judge Jacob, God forbid, that he manipulated a little bit of situation. You got soup, now I'm going to get something. So let's see what the Zohar has to say about it, okay? Here we go.
Come and behold, Rabbi Shimon was sitting with the other friends when his son, Rabbi Elazar, appeared. The friend said to Rabbi Shimon, we have an important question to ask you concerning Jacob and Esau. Why was Jacob unwilling to give Esau a pottage of lentils unless he sold him his birthright? In addition, Esau said to Isaac, his father, for he has supplanted me these two times. How can Jacob deceive Esau?
The two times was when Jacob basically, Esau was about to be born, you know, when the fetus kind of, how can he cheat at that age? And then Jacob sent his hand outside to show that he was born. I mean, it's a weird scene. I mean, if I tell you what's going on, it sounds so bad. He sent his hand, so his mom put a red string, and then he went back, and then Esau was born. Don't go there. But it's a story. So that's why it says that he cheated him twice. But of course, look what the Zohar said. Go ahead, please.
He responded.
Who responded? Who? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, now, they're sitting together like us, and Rabbi Lazar arrive with friend and they study. So they have a question. How can Jacob cannot be nice and give him the lentil soup already? Come on. Go ahead. And that's what Rabbi Shimon answered.
Now you deserve a whipping because you believed Esau and lied about Yaakov's words. This scripture bears witness that Jacob was a plain man, which means that he cannot cheat. Also it is written, you will show truth to Jacob. This was a situation concerning Jacob and Esau. Even before Esau detested his birthright, and he asked Jacob to take the birthright without payment. Thus it is as written, and he did eat and drink, and rose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised the birthright.
What's going on here? Last week we talked about the Machpelah with Ephron, if you remember. Very similar. Of course, when we talk about the lentil soup, we don't talk about the lentil soup. And of course, when we talk about the birthright, we don't talk about the birthright. The idea is like that. Esau couldn't take the energy of being the firstborn. Because when you're the firstborn, you get the energy, what we call keter. That's what's called bechor. That energy include responsibility. Rav Ashlag said, Soda bechorah u soda mochin de orcha chuchma anivshachim me'arat asmol. The bechorah, the birthright, the firstborn, receive extremely amount of energy for being the firstborn, for his soul. And there is no ability to hold it only through sharing. You have to share. And because of that, it causes him a lot of pain, and he wants to give it away. He knew that he carried on him a tremendous amount of energy, that the only way he can enjoy that energy is by doing chasadim. Chasadim comes with chesed, meaning generosity, kindness. He knew, that's the only way. But Esau was not into chesed. He was not into giving. He wanted to give it away to Jacob. He was happy that Jacob will take it from him. So he'd say, Jacob, what does Jacob represent? If you go by the fathers, Abraham representing right column, Isaac representing left column, and Jacob represent what? Center column. What is a center column? Well, we have two types of energy. One energy is a strong energy. It's called Or de Chochmah, light of wisdom, or left column. One energy called Or de Chasadim, which has to do with sharing. And one energy called the combination of both. How can you combine water and fire? Left column is fire. Water is right column. Well, you use a pot or you make the tea. You take a pot, you put the fire below, you put the water inside. Now what do we got? Water with fire, right? The water has fire in them. That's why it's hot. So that's why if you dream about a pot in the dream, that means you're going to have balance in your life. You're going to have peace. That's what it's written. And the idea is Jacob was the only one who was capable of combination of those two energy. He was able to combine that. So when Jacob basically bought the birthright from Esau, he did do him a favor. Otherwise, Esau will die. But why is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is angry with his student? And he say, I should beat you up. Because the words in the Torah, when you read the Bible, there is words that are coming from the snake, and there is words that are coming from the light. That's why we gave those names of the snake a bad name. We call it Esau, the code. We call it snake. We call it Lavan. We call it Bilam. There is names that are bad in the Bible. And you know how to behave based on that. So when you read what they had to say, and you read next to them what righteous has to say, and you feel like life is not being fair, you are taking the side of who? Right away, the side of the justice toward whatever you think is the justice. And we learn another lesson, and that will be tough for some of us to swallow. You have, in a court system, if you're a lawyer, they're usually going after justice. They don't go after common sense. They don't. I will tell you, they don't. I help many people. Right? Many people. I can tell you about a woman that doesn't have enough money to defend herself. And her son was kidnapped away from her or taken away from her because her husband is very dangerous and abusive, but she cannot prove it. She cannot do nothing about it. Do you think that the court system will be able to help her? I will tell you no. She declared that she's a refugee in the United States, everything. Nothing worked. Very sad story. Sad. No solution. Then I found out she's not the only one. That's the worst part. Then I told her, I said, the only thing I can tell you is to build an organization. That's what she's doing. She is almost finished. To build an organization for women that their husband is very dangerous and has a lot of money and there is nothing that they can do. Nothing. The husband take the child and they go to the street, no money. And I didn't even know it exists. It's breaking your heart. What to do? And when you go to the court, I said, they get a special lawyer. I forget the name for that type of lawyer. Something international. And it's never going to end, the case, until you wear out. I'm going to tell you something that's tough. Rabbi Shimon is teaching us a lesson. Once you're going to go after justice, you're missing the whole point. You're missing justice. You have to know who's in front of you, but because we're human, we can't tell. If in front of you is a cheater who knows to cheat better, one of you is a righteous who represents himself terrible, who are you going to defend? Unfortunately, the system in the court will defend the wicked who know how to present themselves better than the righteous who don't know how to speak. Get used to it. That's called life. What Rabbi Shimon tells his friend, the Chaverim, say, guys, what's wrong with you? You know the roots of everybody. The roots of Jacob is good. The roots of Esau is bad. It doesn't matter how good it sounds or how bad this one sounds. You go by the core of the person is. You don't go by the old story of what happened at that event. There is more to it based on the person in front of you. You know the story? I give you a story from the Bible. King Solomon, most famous story. Two prostitutes both give birth in the same day. After 2 weeks, one prostitute lose the baby. He died. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. She take her dead baby, put it next to the other prostitute, and steal the living baby with her and go sleep in another room. True story from the Bible. The mother wake up with the dead baby. She look, mother can see. It's not. Nobody can see but the mother. She say, they fighting, she stole my baby. You know, how can you prove it now? Huh? We have no court like today. Huh? We are primitive time, 3,000 years ago. What did they know? What would you do? They go to the court. Court cannot solve it. They go to the head judge of Israel. Cannot solve it. What did they do in the end when nobody can solve it? They bring the king. That's the last solution. They bring the king. Who was the king? King Solomon. King Solomon, listen to the case. The judge explained to him, the lawyer, the person, very organized system. King Solomon asked God, give me wisdom. I don't know. I don't know how to solve it. If I say this one, I might be wrong. If I say this one, I might be wrong. Give me wisdom. God gave him wisdom, chokmah. The Hashem natan chokmah lishlomo it's written there. And God let King Solomon borrow wisdom. Say, okay, I have decision as the king of Israel, what to do? Give me a sword. Give a sword. He hold the baby by the feet. He get the sword. I'm going to divide this baby by half. Half will go to this mom, and half will go to the other mom. The real mom right away say, don't! Give it to her. King Solomon will say, she's the real mom. Justice today go by presentation. Unfortunately. Rabbi Shimon is teaching us one of the greatest lessons. Esav is bad. Bad. Don't defend the evil. Evil is evil. Good is good. So when you are about to make a decision, don't try to find the good within the bad. Stop with that spiritual arena thing. Bad news. What do you try to find? Well, we try. You know those people? You know what the Talmud say about you? If you say about evil people, they try. You want to tell you in English what it say? First I say it in Hebrew. What the Talmud said 2,000 years ago. Talmud write like this. Mi shemerachem al achzarim, sofo sheitachzer al rachmanim. Whoever find mercy on cruel people, cruel, is that the word? Cruel people, eventually will be for sure cruel toward mercy people, merciful people. Interesting what the Talmud has to say. You have enough energy for one type of people. You're going to waste it on the wrong people? It's your problem. Keep your love to the people that you know love you and have a connection. Limit your option. Don't play big shot. Don't play Jesus as U2 said. You know the song from U2? In the name of one, or in the name of love, or something like that. You come here to play Jesus. Everybody playing Jesus and Moses and Muhammad. Stop with that. Stop. You gotta love. You know that's good. You did a mistake. Next time you know that's better. That's good. But you can't defend the whole world. Esau, bad news. Bad news. What are you gonna do? Now you're gonna start to find where. Now do you have to hate him? No. You can forgive everybody, but you don't have to love them. You have a certain amount of love. 100 of our love. You can't love the wrong thing. You can't love the wrong thing. Sorry. Does everybody love me? No. I'm a person that those of you know me. I'm a black and white. Either you hate me or love me. I don't have gray area. With me, I never have gray area people. I walk to a place, you want to get me out of there, or I cannot let him go. That's it. That's only type two people. That's who I am. That's what I love. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be gray. I don't like gray. Don't get gray. In fact, I even like the color black and white. Really? That's it. Don't get other. That's it. You know where it's going. That's no, that's yes. I understand that. Maybe if you want to finish me, you just tell me maybe. Maybe. Maybe you want to torture me, you tell me, I tell you, hey, what do you think about tomorrow? Then maybe. Maybe. Usually either I say goodbye to those people, maybe people don't do well with me. I can ask them. Never. I don't know how to talk. What is, maybe. Can you tell me no for today? And please call me tomorrow again to negotiate for the yes or no. But there is no maybe. Remember, if for you, I teach you what I teach people in business course. When you have a customer, I'll tell you maybe, it's a worse customer. When you have a customer, I'll tell you no, great customer. Customer will tell you yes, great customer. Maybe, you know, you're going to waste your entire life on selling and you get nothing. Maybe meaning you're going to get nothing. And that's this all week parasha, guys. You want happiness? Get your mind clear about things. Evil is evil and good is good. And if you're one of those people that want to see the good in everything, good for you, do it. It's working for you, do it. I'm telling you that when the time comes that you need to show good toward the good, you will not have enough energy. And you will be cruel toward the one who do good. You will be cruel toward the one who do good. You will hate even the good people. But if you keep your love toward the right thing, and you don't like, it's not just don't do like a person, don't like the evil in you, the selfish in you, the attitude of addiction in me, I don't like it. I don't want to find the good in my addiction. My addiction is bad. My anger is bad. It's bad. It's bad. No good. If I'm starting to find the good in it, then that will start taking over. Let's do just 1 minute meditation for Los Angeles because we are in LA. And whoever listens to me into your city, we want to send a positive energy of gratitude and happiness to the whole city of Los Angeles, to all state of California, and whoever you are, in your country, say it in your own words about your land, your city, to send energy of protection, energy of love, energy of happiness. And may everything negative that might need to happen in this town, whatever it is, sickness, or fight, or mistake, or purposely you want to hurt people, will not take a place this week, will not take a place. And next Monday, we're going to pray again for other places. With the energy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you. And I also want to say thank you to all of you who came here today. Because as you know, Kabbalah, without you, none of these can be manifest. So if you want to know what manifest me, it's by you coming here. So I really, really thank you for coming. Thank you. Thank you very much.